An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 14. Betrayed. She would do her best to play the part of a meek and cooperative prisoner. All the same, while the pirates trussed her up to be hoisted aboard, Piper managed to give one pirate an elbow in the throat and the other a header to the groin.
Ugh! Woof!
"I'm so sorry," she lied through the gag. She faked an apology with her eyes. "Clumsy me!" Of course, the pirates only heard, "Hi, hi!" and "Hi!" Fear curled in her belly as the rope and pulley lifted her onto the main deck. Better to show fear than fury. She kept her eyes wide while a pirate with one wooden leg loosed the ship's rope.
"Untie your feet as well, man,"
the wiry, wild-eyed one spoke. He'd been in charge of her capture. He'd given the orders, and the other two lugs had carried them out.
"I'll take her down to the captain's quarters. She'll be no trouble at all."
"Aye, aye, sir."
Pirate One Leg saluted sharply before leering at her.
"Bit young for the captain, isn't she?"
"Mind your business," her captor snarled. "Unless you want a touch of the hook or claw, you swab."
"No, sir."
The pirate bent to his work, his head shaking back and forth like a ping-pong ball. As the rope binding her feet fell to the deck, Piper considered bolting. Then she heard the clunk of heavy feet behind her. The two lugs. She wouldn't get far if she ran.
"Get back down there and ready the rowboat to be hauled aboard, you snail-brained fool,"
one snarled.
"Don't tell me what to do, you blithering idiot," replied the other.
The arguing voices faded as Pip stumbled below deck, dragged by her bound hands. Her crazy-looking captor glanced back at her from time to time with a funny expression. Maybe he was trying to be friendly, but with those weird eyes he just looked more like a total kook. She kept her own expression of frightened innocence, letting neither the disgust nor the desire she had to pop him one show on her face. She wanted to spit and gouge what nails she had into pirate flesh, but that wouldn't help. She needed to be smart here, to pay attention and watch for the right opportunity. Her captor came to a halt and knocked 3 times on a wooden door. The captain's quarters, she presumed.
"Come!"
It was the captain's voice. She recognized it from the shocking scene her first day here, when he'd led that load of terrified men to Sinkarez and their doom. Not to mention from the night he'd kidnapped her mother and father. But this time his tone was slick with syrupy glee. The door swung open and she was pushed inside. The captain sat facing her on the far side of the cabin in a red velvet armchair. It set off his white shirt, black pants, shiny black boots, his faded mane of hair, blue eyes, and shiniest of all, the steel hook and claw resting where his hands ought to be.
"Welcome to me quarters."
Captain Littlejack inclined his head with pretended good manners. Piper didn't move, but glanced around, taking in the richly appointed quarters. A massive 4-poster bed hung with blue velvet curtains dominated one side. On the opposite wall stood a table. The captain had dined in style. She'd never seen such fancy plates and silverware. Her mouth watered at the smells of gourmet food. Candles burned low. It must have been a romantic dinner for two. To the captain's left hung a golden, jewel-covered thing. Was it a lampshade? Behind the table, in the corner, stood a massive wooden armoire. Only a wardrobe through which to reach Narnia, Pip thought. Truly a wardrobe through which to reach Narnia, Pip thought, with a twitch of humor. Imagine the White Witch and Captain Littlejack allied. She dismissed the idea. Aslan would send the captain running in terror with a single roar. But the captain wasn't running now. Far from it. He smirked at her from his throne. Rising to his feet, he moved with the grace and power of a panther. She had to look up to meet his eyes. She waited for him to pounce, a frightened rabbit. "Courage, Pip," she thought. "Remember, you're Piper Pan." She tried to swallow. Her dry throat couldn't manage.
He laughed and took a step toward her. "I don't believe we've been properly introduced. Me name is Captain Littlejack. I am the captain of the Jolly Roger and the terror of the seven seas and beyond. This," he gestured to her captor, "is me first mate, Flea."
Her captor bowed.
"Pleased to meet you."
"Shut up, Flea," the captain snapped. "When I want you to say something, I'll tell you."
Looking back at Piper, he cocked his head to one side, eyes narrowing.
"I understand we should have met already."
"How many years ago was it?" He smirked. It took all of Pip's willpower to remember she wasn't supposed to have been there the night he robbed her of her parents. She'd been huddled in her closet. She could still hear her father's voice saying, "Our niece sleeps here. We have no children of our own."
She wrinkled her brow at the captain as if to say, "We should have?"
Waving his claw with impatience, the captain said,
"She can't pay her respects that way, Flea. Take off her gag at once."
The loose, lacy cuff of the pirate captain's sleeve revealed a flash of steel forearm, sending a shiver up Piper's spine. Flea untied the filthy rag, gagging her. She coughed. The taste in her mouth revolted her.
"May I please have a drink of water?"
"Oh, good," she thought. "I sound as meek as any sorry orphan."
The captain raised an eyebrow.
"Well, our guest is a little lady, I see. Bring her some water, Flea."
Flea headed to the romantic table, still trimmed with half-filled glasses and plates boasting yummy-looking food. He reached for a water glass.
"Not that water, you fool!" the captain snarled. "Get some from the galley."
"Aye, aye, Cap'n."
Flea saluted and fled, shutting the door behind him. The captain circled her, hook and claw behind his back. Piper straightened under his critical gaze.
"Who'd have thought Pan would spawn such a mangy child?"
He spoke quietly, each word a weapon. Piper refused to flinch. She wouldn't take the bait.
"The flying boy was a scurvy brat," he continued. "But you, my dear, look like a cowardly sparrow, plain as a catfish and skinny to boot. Peter Pan made a fool of Hook. He baited the croc, gave the beast a taste of the good pirate's flesh. It stalked him and finally ate him alive."
The captain completed his inspection. He stared down at Piper, blue eyes smoldering.
"But there's no croc now, and I'm not Hook."
She couldn't help herself, the words blurted out.
"No croc, maybe, but there is a dragon."
The captain grimaced, eyes narrowed, mouth tight. He looked nothing short of deadly. At that moment, the cabin door burst open and Flea stumbled in.
"Here's the water, Captain. Wants that I give it to the girl."
Piper reached for the glass without waiting for permission. Gripping the water with both hands, as her wrists were still bound, she drained the contents without stopping. When she handed the glass back to Flea, she let out a loud belch. The first mate blinked and backed up against the wall, awaiting further orders. Piper's eyes returned to the captain's. He curled his lip.
"Ah, so that's how it is. The sparrow has a song after all. A song rather like a crow."
Captain Littlejack half turned his head, speaking over one shoulder.
"Isn't that so, Bell?"
"Bell?" Piper stared in confusion. "Bell? Here?" Catching her look, the pirate captain laughed.
"You didn't know, did you? Of course she's here. Bell and I are partners. I'm the pirate king and she's the fairy queen."
He gestured toward the golden lamp-like thing suspended from the ceiling.
"She's sitting on her throne, in there, watching you. Aren't you, Belle?"
Leaning in, he tried to peer inside the roundish gold thing. That must not have worked, because he pressed an ear against it and cleared his throat.
Bell?
An odd sound, like a faintly buzzing bee, came from the golden shape. A tinkling buzzing bee.
Captain Littlejack made a noise in his throat like an angry goat. Undoing the tie at the bottom of the thing, he pulled the bejeweled cover up and off of a cage.
Piper gasped. Bell lay on a miniature couch, the fancy kind she'd seen in antique stores, fast asleep. One arm hung over the side, and her shoes were kicked off. The dainty high heels made Pip think of Cinderella's glass slippers.
"You've drugged her! You captured her and made her drink a sleeping potion!" Pip spoke fast. She sounded too young, too defensive, but she couldn't help it.
"Oh, no!" He shook his head. His hair, hanging in soft curls, brushed his shoulders.
"Not at all. She came of her own free will."
His claw moved, pointing to the table.
"She dined with me. She's only sleeping because she drank too much."
For the first time, Piper saw the size of the second place setting. Tinker Bell sized. The serving platters laden with food had kept her from noticing before. A teeny chair hung suspended from the ceiling like a porch swing. Bell had dined here. Piper felt a lump in her throat. She kept her mouth shut, but her head shook back and forth of its own accord.
"Yes, me pretty Pan, Bell is not your savior. Let me tell you about your pixie friend." He gave a mean bark of laughter. "Ha! Well, not actually your friend."
"My friend? Yes. Your friend? I'm afraid not. Would you care to sit down while I enlighten ye?"
Standing tableside, he offered the human-sized chair. Piper shook her head.
"No? Well, then."
Clang! The horrid man whipped his hook onto a plate, spearing a piece of meat. Piper started at the sudden movement and the sound of steel on china.
"Hungry?"
He extended it to her and laughed when she refused.
"Then I'll help meself."
The hook lifted to his mouth in slow motion, and his mouth accepted the offering. Piper shuddered. Clang! This time the hook speared a piece of asparagus.
"As I was saying, Bell and I have quite a history."
He strolled back to the red armchair and sat while his hook fed him the long green vegetable as if it were a spaghetti noodle. Wiping his mouth on his sleeve, he continued,
"I am Bell's protege."
Hope drained from Piper like air from a pricked balloon. Who would help her now? And who would keep the merry band safe from harm?